So Isaiah 61. And once again, we're going to read the first three verses. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth to guide us and help us through life and to challenge us to live lives not for ourselves but for others and for your glory. And we just pray you bless this morning as we look into this passage once again. May you show us your truth, illuminate understanding to it, that we may apply it and follow your commands by your strength and power. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning we resume our meditations upon this passage in light of the words Jesus uttered in the aftermath of his crucifixion and resurrection, as recorded in John 20 and verse 21, where he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." We know that this passage here speaks prophetically of our Lord Jesus. In many ways it defines his ministry while he was on this earth. But while that is the primary interpretation of this passage, we realize there is a secondary application, that Jesus is sending us to the same people with the same mission as the Father sent him. And so we recognize what is written here applies to us. We have a calling upon our lives that we need to rise to, a mission that we are to fulfill. And in many ways, this passage, as we've seen, lays out the parameters of that mission. And so we've considered already of how we're sent with the Spirit's anointing, his empowering, his blessing, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that's in desperate need of that good news. That we are a world that is poor spiritually and is in need of the riches that they can have in Christ Jesus. We realize as well that there's many people in this world that are brokenhearted, that the things have happened, tragedies, traumas, other things, where they hurt so much and they don't know how to deal with that hurt. How to ever find recovery from that. And so God wants us to bind up the brokenhearted, to show compassion to them, to see if we can bring them to the one that will bind up their wounds and heal those that are brokenhearted. And as well, we've been considering the last couple times we've looked at this passage, the idea of how we're to proclaim liberty to the captives. That there's many that it talks about in 2 Timothy 2 that the devil takes many captive by his will, that ones that get in under the control of different things. And so we want to proclaim liberty to them, to tell them about the freedom they can have in Christ. And so that brings us to the last phrase of verse number 1, and that's what we want to focus on today. Excuse me. And that's where it says, not only to proclaim liberty to the captives, but as well, we're to proclaim the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And we look at this phrase, we realize it is connected with the previous phrase. And I was looking at this, and I almost thought that to preach on this specific phrase would tend to be redundant. But as I was meditating upon it, I realized there is significance to it. Otherwise, God wouldn't have put it in his Bible. And so I just want to share some thoughts with you on this. And it's a thought that we are sent to them that are bound. By definition, to be bound is to be restrained, to be confined or limited. It's to have one's movement or progress hindered. And so we think of someone bound, they might be bound up in rope, or shackled in chains. We think of how with the Philistines that when Samson had his great strength that they tried to bind him, and of course they couldn't bind him, that he'd always break those chains. But we realize that it's that sense that most people normally when they're bound like that, they can't escape. And so one who is bound obviously is in bondage. They're either in slavery or they're in involuntary servitude, that their liberty to do what they want to do is restrained. They're prisoners. They've lost their freedom. And so when we see this in Isaiah 61 verse 1, that we're to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, we want to understand, okay, who it is, these ones that are referred to as the bound, these ones that are imprisoned. And as we think about it, we want to realize, even though sometimes we don't, that there are people all around us that are bound in chains stronger than any metallurgist could forge. People that are prisoners in prisons more escape-proof than any architect can design. Indeed, we live in a world that is in bondage in many different ways, a world that cries out for freedom and deliverance. And it is into this world, and it is to these people that are bound, that our Savior sends us. And as we consider ones that are bound, as we understand it, we want to realize that as we recognize their plight, we should be moved with compassion to try to help these people. But the fact is that many of them, we realize they're in a prison of their own making. They're shackled in chains forged by their own hands, but that shouldn't cause us to have any less of a desire to see their suffering alleviated. We want to do what we can. And so we realize, and we think about it in terms of this bondage. It's not a physical bondage. It's not, even though we realize people in prison need help, it's good to have a ministry to try to reach those in prison to help them come to know the Lord. But we realize that it's not talking in terms of kind of a physical prison so much as it is a spiritual one. And that there's a spiritual bondage that many people face. We recognize that there's many in this world, and we could even recognize that many in our community are in bondage to addiction, whether it be alcohol or cocaine or meth or fentanyl. We realize that there's many that have developed a dependency on these various substances, and try as they might, they cannot break free. And as they suffer through their addiction, their families, their careers, and their physical and mental health are being destroyed as a result. And so we see these ones that are in this bondage that is destroying them slowly. And many seek freedom and can't find it. And so we realize that these are ones that are bound that the Lord sends us to. But as well, there may be many others. They may not be suffering from a substance addiction, but they're in bondage in many other ways. We realize that some are in bondage to their anger, where anything and everything sets them off. And a lot of times they suffer in their relationships at home, suffer in their relationships at their job, sometimes end up getting in trouble with the law because they can't control their anger, that their anger controls them, that it shackles them and hinders them in their life. Others, we realize, are in bondage to bitterness. Really their anger that they've internalized, where they've been eaten up on the inside over some offense that happened to them. It may have been years ago. It could very well have been a real offense. Sometimes it can even be an imagined offense. And they might struggle with that there's things that they just can't let go. And really it's because it's got a hold of them. And because of that bitterness in their heart, they have no joy in their life anymore as a result. Some are in bondage to guilt and shame over their past mistakes. Of things that they've done, they wish they could have undone, but it's not possible. They may spend their lives, perhaps they're trying to atone for what they did, and try to blot it out if they could. Some may think, well, there was such a thing, I need to keep it hidden. And some might keep running or moving from one place to another just so no one finds out of that thing that they did, that they're in bondage to that shame and to that fear of being found out. But we realize today some are in bondage to worry and fear, where they're hiding themselves from possible dangers, that they are sure are going to be out there, but actually may not even be realistic, that they would have to face those things. Some are in bondage to depression, feeling helpless and hopeless, that they just don't think that they can ever break free of that, that it's got a hold of them. Some are in bondage to lust. Some are in bondage to greed. Some are in bondage to pride. Some to insecurity. Some to overeating. Some to undereating. But in all cases, we recognize there's a common denominator with it all, that these individuals are held back from reaching their true potential. They're hindered from making progress in their lives. That hope and joy and peace are really been pushed out of their lives in many ways. They miss out on a great deal that they would love to enjoy. And some, they've lived so long in their condition they don't even realize that they're in bondage anymore. They're so used to it. Whereas others have tried desperately to free themselves from their chains and escape from the prison that they've built for themselves. But it seems they keep getting caught and pulled back in one way or the other. That the chains that bind them are much too strong for them to break on their own. The prison that they're in is too well guarded, and so they need help in breaking free and finding freedom. And the Lord is well aware of their situation, and He wants to help them, and He wants to send us to them. He does not want us to be indifferent to their plight. He wants us to have compassion, and that compassion should move us to try to do what we can to help them. But the question arises, what can we do to help these people break free from their bondage, whether it's addiction or anger or whatever it might be? What do we have that we can use to break their chains? Can we help them tunnel out of their prison? Do we ourselves possess the strength that they lack to liberate them from what binds them? Do we have the wisdom necessary to rescue them from their plight? And it's something that we approach that we need to have that compassion, that's foremost, that we want to, that's what's going to motivate us. But we find sometimes that we can try to help people and find that the help that we are able to offer is not sufficient, that we don't know what to do. We don't have the strength of ourselves to be able to give people the help that we need. And that's what we learn many times when we're trying to help people. If we're doing it in our own strength and wisdom, we're going to fall short. But as we ponder this, they do need help, and we need to do what we can. But we want to understand what God is calling us to do and what role He wants us to play in their lives. Because we can go into become part of their life, and we can do everything we can to encourage them and challenge them and inspire them in different ways. But if we try to be their Savior, we're going to burn ourselves out trying to be their Savior. And we need to recognize that the position of their Savior has already been fulfilled. Because the thing is, as we seek to help those who are in bondage of destructive habits, we have to remember that we're not the ones that free those that are bound. We're not the ones that liberate the captives. We're not the ones that break them out of the prison that they're in. Though instead, what we want to understand is that Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the one that does that. That He's the one that sets them free. And what our job is to proclaim liberty to the captives and proclaim to them that the prison that in which they are bound is open, and that in Christ they can be free. That it is God, and God alone, is the one that can set people free from the bondage that they're in. That yes, it's good for them to get help, and we need to be a support to them. But more than anything, we need to direct them to the one that can give them the help that they need. We see in Psalm 68 and verse 6, It says that of God that He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. That He is the one that does that. That He is the one that brings them out of the captivity, out of the prison that they're in, and sets them free. We see as well in Psalm 146 and verse number 7, where it says of God that the Lord looseth the prisoners. That He is the one that liberates them, that gives them their freedom. And as well, we looked at it this morning as we first started this morning, but if you turn there with me to Psalm 107, we see in this passage it being well described, both the plight of so many that are in bondage, but also God's deliverance of them. So Psalm 107, beginning in verse 10, we read, it says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried on the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder." And so we see with that that it speaks of these that they sat in darkness, in the fear of death, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction iron. And the reason why is because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. God had a path for them of life, of blessing, of peace and joy and fruitfulness, and they chose their own way, as so many of us do. They decided to go their own way and ignore and reject what God had to say, and that's what brought them into bondage. And that's what we understand with what God calls sin in the Bible, that He warns us of it because He knows that all sin brings us into bondage. It will make us its captive if we submit to it and surrender to it. And so He is warning us through His Word, but yet often we don't heed the warnings, and that's what brings each of us into bondage. And we get to that place of great distress, where our hearts are brought down with labor, that we're worn out, and it seems that we're helpless and we're hopeless. And that we really can see for so many that are in bondage today. That's what they feel. It is a feeling of despair, that they think there is no hope for them. And they've tried and failed. They've gone to different programs and other things. And there's different people I know that they go through detox and hope that that'll clear them out and help them out. But then you find out that it could be maybe the third or fourth time they've gone through it, that they get out and then they get back in, and it seems that they don't make any progress. And it just seems a place of just complete despair and frustration and hopelessness. But we see the turning point comes in verse 13, that then they cried on the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. And He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. And that's what we understand is what God does, what He specializes in more than anything we could ever try to do to try to help people is Jesus Christ. If they know Him, that they can find freedom. And that's what Jesus Himself declared in John 8:32, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And of course, He wasn't just speaking of truth and facts, that we understand what He says later in John 14, where He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." That it's through knowing Him, having a relationship with Him, seeking His strength and power, that we can find freedom from all those bondage of all those different things. That it's by when He went to the cross and He paid the penalty for our sins, and He died and was buried, and then He rose again. He conquered sin and death. And so we don't need to be in bondage anymore. Sin does not have to have dominion over us. He's secured liberty for us all from sin, from bad habits, from fear, from despair, from shame. And everyone throughout the world needs to know of the great liberty that has been secured for them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is what our focus is to be as His people, as He sends us out, is that we're to tell people the good news. We're to proclaim liberty to the captives. tell of the liberty in which Christ has made us free and can make them free. We are to proclaim to them that are bound that the prison is open. That it isn't us trying to break the prison bars to set them free. That's something Jesus, through his shed blood on the cross, has already done that. And that if they come to know him by faith, that they can be free, that they can walk out of that, that their chains don't need to bind them anymore. We think of throughout the Second World War that there is always during war that there is different people that are taken prisoner during the conflict. And during the Second World War, many Allied POWs ended up in POW camps in Germany. And while they're in there, that was one of their focuses, that they would do all that they could to escape from their prisons. They wouldn't just stay in the prison camps. They would do all they could to escape. And so they would make many attempts to try to get out if they could. We think one of the most well-known of these was what we refer to as a great escape from Stalag Luft III. And we think of the, if you're familiar with the story of how they dug these different tunnels and worked away and did all they could to find things that they could use to make these tunnels, to even have ventilation, that they took all the different tin cans from their rations and used that to make ventilation ducts and tools and so many other things. But the problem was, of course, is they would work for days and weeks and months on a tunnel and have it be making progress, but then one of their tunnels would be discovered and then they'd be filled in. And then they'd have to start over again. And just imagine how frustrating and discouraging that must have been when they think, well, we're so close, but then they found it and we have to start all over again. We think of some man that did manage to escape, but of course then they had to try to find their way through enemy territory without being detected, try to get to freedom without being captured or killed. And of course many of those were caught. Some were returned to prison, some were shot as a warning to others. But so long as the war raged on, they kept trying and trying again. But we realized for them to experience true liberation, what they needed more than anything else was a force greater than their own to liberate their prison camp. And so you picture, if you will, a POW down digging in a tunnel, been at it for months, hoping that this will be the chance that they get to free. If just imagine if word coming down the tunnel from his fellow prisoners of war, he says, you don't need to keep digging anymore. Our camp has been liberated. The guards have fled, the gates are open. Do you think the soldier would stay in the tunnel on his stomach and keep digging? No, he would throw down his tools, he'd crawl out into the light, he'd come see for himself that it might sound too good to be true, but he's definitely going to check it out for himself. And in much the same way, we realize there's people in bondage that they've been trying and failing for years to break out of the prison that they found themselves in. And all they've met with is frustration and futility. At times it might seem they've been broken free for a while, but then it seems one way or another they get recaptured. They get brought back in again into bondage. And they're still trying, but they're at a point of despair. And we want to realize it is to these people that God sends us, to tell them that one greater than them, the Savior, Jesus Christ, has secured their liberation. And if they embrace him by faith, if they trust what he has done, they can be made free. For some it may seem too good to be true, but really the key in sharing that is to share our own testimony of how he's made us free, where we've experienced his liberty, where bad habits we've had, that he's given us the victory, that we can show them, yes, it is true, it is possible. You can, by the wisdom and power and love of Christ, break free from your bondage once and for all. And so may the Lord help us to fulfill this role, that we're not seeking to be their Savior because they already have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not trying to break open the prison that they're in because Jesus himself has opened the prison for them. We're simply to tell people what Jesus did for them. Tell them that they can be free. Point them to the one that freed us, and so that they can enjoy in the glorious liberty that we all can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just help Pray that you would help us to see those around us that are in bondage. Help us to have compassion, seek to help them. But just give us the courage to share with them about you, because we know that us trying to help them in our own strength, we can help them for a bit, but it's not going to be the help that they need. Just pray that we would just simply let them know the truth and guide them to you so that you can break their bands asunder. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we'll turn to one last hymn before we conclude.